This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
The goal of this podcast since day one is to provide the best information on the Vancouver real estate market at no cost to you, the listeners. To that end, we'd like to thank the following sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, today we've got a fantastic episode. We have Robert Hogue on the program. He is the senior economist at RBC, and he is talking about a report on the housing market they just released. It's called Canada's Housing Market Headed for Another Record Year in 2021.
That's right. And we're not clear if that's a statement or a question.
Well, if it was a question, Matt, I would have said in 2021.
That's right.
You can hear my questions.
Right. Well, then we're going to unpack the lead is there.
Yeah.
But we're unpacking that with Robert today. It's all about projections. Really bright guy. Really great to talk to Robert, senior economist from RBC. So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned. We will stay tuned for that because honestly, this is a great conversation. He's a super bright guy. He's been at RBC for a long time. And man, the things that we cover today about interest rates, where the market goes from here, everyone's got it. Like there's a fatigue out there that I'm feeling. Like everything's super hot. But I was having this conversation with a colleague of ours where he was saying like, everybody, like the stress, it's like palpable out there. It's like even during the showings, the buyers are stressed, right? It's like, is this all for none? You know,
yeah.
You gotta go see the property. You gotta read the documents. You gotta get a pre-inspection. You gotta get your financing sorted, all for like a chance sometimes of like one of 20 offers to be the one that gets the property. And then you get the property and there's gotta be this moment where you're going,
that's the worst part.
Yeah, we got
congrats.
It.
Congrats.
Yeah, yeah. That's intonation. Congrats. there it is. Anyways, it is a bizarre market out there, and it's right across the board. And we talk a little bit about that with Robert today. So I'm really excited to hear this interview.
That's right. But before we get to our talk with Robert, Adam, there's a few things. First off, we have our listings incentive. This
yes.
is a spring 2021 listings incentive.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody reaching out. We do have a very exciting incentive. The code word, if you're a listener to this podcast, is Powerwalker 2021. You can just text it to us or you can send us an email and we'll unpack the listing incentive for you. But we are basically looking to help you bring your property to market, get you top dollar in the shortest amount of time. And man, is it a good time to be a seller.
And we'll give you an incentive to do it. The other thing we should say, Adam, is not only for sellers, but friends and family of the VREP community. This incentive is for people that trust Scalina Real Estate with their friends and family. Everybody wins in this case. Power Walker 2021. If you're not quite there yet, if you're not quite there, you're not looking for incentives, but you are looking for very on-the-ground resources to help get your place ready for market, we have the Sellers Club.
Yeah, the Sellers Club, Matt, it's the hottest club in town where you get top dollar in the shortest amount of time, but it's a great resource if you're just starting to think about getting your place ready for market. It's also a great resource if you just want to get your place looking really, really good just for yourself. Maybe you're throwing a party after COVID. I have no idea, but really it's a great resource.
It's that good of a resource.
It's a checklist for getting your place ready to go. So feel free, get in touch for the Sellers Club. You can do that by writing us at info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com, or you can be on the live wire, and there's a button on the live wire. A very clickable button on the live
wire. You know
what?
The listing incentive is there too.
Yeah,
click
exactly.
On the live wire listing incentive.
Fantastic. And Matt, we must mention our sponsor this week. We are sponsored by Oakland Realty.
That's right. Oakland Realty, this is our brokerage, best brokerage in town, bar none. If you are a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody who's just looking to make a change, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. You will meet up with Michael, Morgan, the gang. They have, speaking of, well, it's a huge surprise. It's not so much an incentive as a
I'm not sure we know what the big surprise is yet.
We have yet to find out, but it's worth sitting down with those guys, surprise or not, I would say for sure. But Adam, maybe we should just cut to our talk. It's a good one today. Robert Hogue, senior economist at the RBC.
Enjoy. Okay, so we're here with Robert Hogue, senior economist at RBC. How you doing, Robert?
Very good, very good. How about you?
Doing well. Thanks so much, Robert, for taking the time with us today.
It's always a pleasure.
Can you maybe start, Robert, by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a senior economist at RBC. I've been covering the Canadian housing market now for the last dozen years, I guess, and prior to that, working as an economist at another bank. I covered various industrial sectors, but obviously that covered a housing market as well. So I've managed to get quite a bit of experience as an analyst on the housing market.
And, you know, we asked you on today because you published recently a report about the Canadian housing market, and we'll get there. But I was curious, maybe as a more general question to start, how's the Canadian economy doing?
Well, I mean, the Canadian economy surprised us on the upside in the late stages of 2020. We did expect that, after the last spring, that the economy would show a pretty big pop in the summer, but we thought that by the fall things would continue to recover, but a much slower pace. And yet, we're still getting, obviously, like economic data gets to us with a certain lag. But the data that's coming in is still relatively encouraging. Now, since the late stages of 2020, we've gotten the second pandemic that prompted the return of restriction measures, including lockdowns in large parts of the country. So obviously the month of December and probably the month of January is going to look a little weak from an economic perspective. But now the rollout of vaccines, and assuming that we'll get some more on the way to Canada, I think brings hope that the worst is behind us and that we'll see a fairly vigorous economic recovery through the rest of this year, probably more so over the second half of 2021. But that said, if it weren't for vaccines, we'd probably be a little more pessimistic. But the moment vaccines began to be rolled out to us, it was the game changer that we were long hoping for.
In thinking about the economy just generally in Canada, Robert, what do you think the next one to, or maybe closer to 2 to 5 years looks like?
Well, I mean, we do expect that we'll see, you know, the further progress. Now, there's still quite a few question marks out there, and a big one is the degree to which we lost economic capacity or productive capacity. You know, governments have done, you know, all they could to provide a lot of support for individuals and businesses. And so far, it looks like we've had, you know, a minimal number of bankruptcies out there. But the game is far from having been all played by so far. So it remains quite unclear how many businesses will lose permanently. And so all this to say that once we're through the pandemic and once the economy can operate more normally, we're not quite sure what the productive capacity of the economy will be. If most businesses, the vast majority, get through to it. And you know, acknowledging that most of the difficulties these days are really concentrated in a number of industries, not hospitality and airline transportation, restaurants, and all of those. But nonetheless, if we lose a certain large percentage of businesses, this could slow down the performance down the road. But other than that, you know, when you look at other sort of fundamentals like immigration, where we do expect immigration will bounce back and quite possibly bounce back quite significantly, probably not this year, but by 2022, 2023, we might see. So this will, at the same time, trigger quite a bit of economic activity related to that, either housing or just general consumption out there. So we're still reasonably bullish on the medium to longer term prospects of Canada, but there's still, I mean, the old challenges that Canada's economy has faced in the past will remain, kind of low productivity, for example, being one of them.
Fantastic. So maybe moving on to housing more specifically, in January, so I guess last month, you published a report entitled Canada's Housing Market Headed for Another Record Year in 2021. I think the housing market, at least here in Vancouver and BC more generally, surprised everyone last year. Can you talk a little bit about your projections, what you're seeing for this year, and maybe the methodology behind the report?
Sure. I think your comment about how surprising the BC or Vancouver market has been in 2020, I think applies pretty much to all housing markets across Canada. You know, in the spring, if anyone had told me that, you know, they were expecting a record year in terms of home resales and record prices overall for 2020, I would have said they're crazy.
Right.
And here we are today. And in fact, what I'd like to tell audiences is that about this time last year, we were talking more or less about the same thing, a very, very hot market, very strong demand, not enough supply out there, and prices that are moving not only up, but at accelerating pace. I mean, that's the case of Vancouver. Vancouver has been, for a number of reasons, prices had been cooled a little while ago, so it's a little bit sort of behind the curve relative to other parts of the country, like Toronto or even Ottawa or Montreal. But nonetheless, prices are accelerating. And here we are today saying more or less the same thing. Very strong second half of 2020. We thought by the fall, we thought that a lot of that pent-up demand that had built up through the spring will be done. And then we would kind of activity would moderate to a more sustainable level through the latter stages of 2020, but absolutely not. The market has ended the year on a very high note. All indications so far for January, tell us that there was no let up in January, and the market was still very strong. If anything, supply is might be a little bit of a restraint. So in terms of transaction, the number could have been even higher. So we see a lot of momentum. And when you think of, you know, what's behind this very strong rally over the last second half of last year. Obviously, low interest rates are right up there on that list. But also, there's been quite a bit of churn in the market caused by the pandemic itself that probably would not have occurred had it not been for the pandemic. By that, I mean there's a lot of people who have spent a lot more time in their at home, either working or studying or both, and coming to the conclusion that their housing needs have changed, and they're, you know, to accommodate spending so much time at home, they needed to move. And so we've seen a lot of that kind of reasons that has triggered quite a bit of churn in the market and a lot of interesting dynamics at the same time, going from kind of core urban areas towards the suburbs and even further. And that, as people work from home, in some cases, they'll be on a permanent basis. The search for affordability takes people even further and further away. So those factors are still here at present. That low interest rates are still here. And when you, you know, listen to the Bank of Canada, they're telling us that there's not going to be a rise in interest rate anytime soon, at least at the shorter end, so on the policy rate side. And this turn in the market, and those changing housing needs are still very, very much present. And the third factor as well has been that, quite surprisingly, households have built up a lot of savings. And that's one area that we're very concerned last spring. We thought that going into this crisis, the household balance sheet was worrisome. And so we were quite fearful that this huge shock would, you know, would cause a lot of trouble out there for a lot of households. And in retrospect, that government aid, that from all levels, but especially at the federal level with the CERB, you know, for example, transferring a lot of money to households ended up being the right thing to do. But also in hindsight, quite generous. So we've seen a lot of savings that have been done. And in some cases also because some households, you know, couldn't really spend it either on traveling, overseas travel, for example, that has been impossible. So there's a lot of money that has been available to deploy on housing, but that still remains there. So that too, in our view, will continue to support housing market activity. Now, that's why we're saying that, you know, 2021 is likely to be even stronger than 2020. Now, when you look at it from a kind of a higher frequency basis, say on a quarterly basis, our view is that we're probably have reached or we're very close to the peak in terms of the level of activity over, say, the period of a quarter. But through the year, we're expecting the level of activity to cool gradually. So overall for 2021, expecting total activity to be stronger in 2020, but through the course of the year, we should be seeing some cooling. Part of it reflecting the fact that, at least in the near term, supply is a restraint. There's just not enough units available for sale out there. And so not enough to satisfy demand. So that could be a restraint on the level of activity, because when you look at inventories, they've been plummeting, and soon we'll see exceptionally low level of inventories being a restraint on activity. And also I've mentioned interest rates, you know, at least at the short end, not rising, but the longer end, by that I mean the kind of longer term interest rates that are set by bond markets, we do expect a little bit of a creep in them probably through the second half of this year. Nothing super substantial, but just the fact that we're expecting, for example, five-year rates rising a little bit from incredibly low levels that they are today means that at the margin, this will have a little bit of a cooling effect on demand. So on top of that, you have also affordability issues that have not been a big obstacle for the market rally since last summer.
Right.
However, we do expect that to become much more of an obstacle into the latter stages of this year. So all this to say, still pretty bullish on the housing market, but we do expect some kind of in-year cooling through the year.
Okay, so there's a number of things that I'd like to kind of unpack there, if possible. One is just thinking about debt levels and the level of savings that have occurred over the last year, right? We've heard a lot about that. Over the course of, you know, we've been doing this podcast for 5 years now or so, we've talked to a lot of people pre-pandemic that were worried about Canadian debt levels and mm-hmm. we'd have people comparing them to US debt levels and they seemed out of whack. Can you talk about how the pandemic's changed that and kind of where we're at now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to read now because what the pandemic has done is that it's distorted a number of metrics, and the debt-to-income ratio is one of them. The reason being there's been a record transfers from governments to individuals that count as an income, a source of income. And so what we've seen is that I've mentioned that savings have gone up, but also household income has surged through the pandemic, which is may appear quite odd because, you know, unemployment has surged. So and so when you look at the numbers, really, employment income has declined, but it's been more than compensated from transfers from government to households. So all this to say that those household balance sheet metrics have been distorted. So they look, in fact, better right now, and they've looked better since the middle of last year. But that being said, it's not the right. I mean, ultimately, things are going to deteriorate, and household income is not sustainable at recent levels. Eventually, governments will start to rein in transfers to household, and then at that point, we're likely to see those household balance sheet metrics look a little worse than they are today. The question is, where are they going to land? And at this point, it's very hard to tell. My best guess would be that we're probably going to return to a pre-pandemic kind of ballpark, you know, more specifically on debt to income, for example, but which is, by the way, not my favorite metric. I don't think that's the right thing to look at, but more the better one is to look at the debt service cost as a share of income. But ultimately, you know, keeping in mind that interest rates are going to remain low quite for a long time, even though we were expecting longer-term rates to creep a little bit higher, you know, the big picture will be very low interest rates. So debt service costs, for example, is unlikely to surge. So the picture looks good now, but it really not true reflection of the underlying conditions.
It sounds like, Robert, we shouldn't be celebrating the lower debt levels than at this point. At least, I mean, it's a positive, but it's not necessarily
lower debt levels per se, but it's relative to income, right? And these are metrics relative to income. And when income on a temporary basis has been boosted by very unusual factors with massive government transfers, then that's where the distortion is.
Robert, in thinking about the government stimulus and all these massive government transfers, how does the Canadian government recover from this all this debt?
Well, in the best of all worlds is through economic growth. If the government plays it right, when the recovery is going to kick into higher gear, we're going to see stronger productivity, stronger production, a stronger economy, stronger economic growth is the best way to manage the huge debt load that governments have accumulated on our behalf. But, there's obviously quite a bit of uncertainty. Again, the fact that the government can count on exceptionally low interest rate, therefore exceptionally low funding costs, helps things. You know, we would be a lot more worried if we thought that the interest rates would surge or would rise quite materially in the near future. But low interest rates will help contain the rise in a debt service cost, which will help in turn manage the government manage and this high debt load in the future.
I guess we all have our fingers crossed for, you know, a strong economy moving forward here. What regions, in terms of housing in Canada, will outperform the larger Canadian housing market in the next year or two?
Again, there's maybe a little bit of a nuance and the answer there, because in some cases, outperforming, you have to take into account where it's been. I'm thinking, for example, in Alberta, that because the shock, actually that was the second shock in the space of 5 years,
right,
that province has suffered, is climbing out of a very deep hole, in other words. So the 2021, for example, might look a very strong growth, but in fact, no, it's just not, you know, catching up. It's trying to catch up with other provinces. But ultimately, you know, where population growth has been strongest and will likely to be stronger in the future, and BC being one, but Ontario as well, those are markets where we think offer quite a bit of a potential for growth in terms of activity. Now, in terms of prices, for example, this is really, you have to take into account on the supply side, and I'm thinking specifically like Montreal and Quebec more broadly, but especially Montreal and Ottawa are markets where even pre-pandemic, prices were rising quite rapidly, and they haven't really missed a beat through the pandemic. And those markets are so tight that we're likely to see very strong price increases, to the point that I think there has to be some discussion in those markets about potentially considering ways to cool those markets, because otherwise you're getting into, it would, if you let things go, they're likely to see affordability erode quite substantially. So those are, but BC, I think our prospects are still good, and prices are likely to rise further, although because of the correction that we saw a little while ago, prices as we speak are not quite rising quite as fast as elsewhere.
Right.
But there's still some upsides there.
And can you put some numbers? I know there are some numbers in terms of forecasting kind of price increases over 2021. Do you have those either memorized or in front of you?
Yes, just under 8.5% nationally, and BC about the same, 8.6% increase. And those are, just to be clear here, the prices we're using, they're benchmark prices. They're not average prices.
Right. So, Robert, what do you think is the biggest potential risk to the housing market in 2021, or is there one? And do you see government intervention as potentially happening if affordability becomes a real concern? And as a piggyback, Robert, on that question, it sounds like you're thinking specific markets for potentially for government intervention. Will in your mind, does it look like a scalpel or a sledgehammer?
Well, ideally, those are kind of scalpels, but realistically, typically those policy tools are more, they look more like sledgehammer. You know, especially if you think of at the federal level, CMHC or OSFI or others, they typically, that they're tools that apply from coast to coast. And so if there's some issues in Toronto and GTA, for example, Southern Ontario, whatever policy that's being adopted gets rolled out. I mean, they've managed over the years to be as surgical as they could, but it really is a fairly kind of blunt policy tools, usually from a location perspective or a geographic perspective. So the risk, obviously both on the upside and downside, to be honest. Obviously the big elephant in the room is the pandemic. That's a huge risk. We're seeing some encouraging numbers on daily new confirmed cases, but I think it's way too early to say we're out of it. There could be new variants of the virus that causes a third wave, for example, potentially, or could render vaccines ineffective. And that could spell trouble to the economy and the housing market. And on the upside, we could have, if those vaccines are great, and we tackled this second wave very effectively in short order, we can have a potential period of euphoria where governments like the Bank of Canada would be reluctant to start tightening its interest rate policy. So we'll probably err on the safe side and, you know, let the economy run a little hot before it starts to tighten, and which could create a window of household business confidence booming at some point. Still very low interest rates, people gaining their jobs back. And so some kind of moment of euphoria, a roaring 2021 or 2022 or something like that, that could further fuel the market. And at the same time, something we haven't talked about is on immigration. We might see suddenly the gates open and a flood of immigrants coming back, probably not in very short order, but may potentially over the latter stages this year. And then bringing the heat back into the downtown cores, right? Because those downtown cores have had quite a bit of a challenge through the pandemic.
Right. And maybe just that, I was actually wanting to hear your take on that, because it sounds like we're talking kind of 8 to 9% price increases across Canada, similar numbers in BC. But your report definitely points out that it's not necessarily all, you know, you're not talking about Vancouver, it's growth in a lot of the smaller centers. How do you see downtown and kind of the surrounding areas?
Yeah, there's very complex dynamics at play since the summer. What we've seen is that there's a big movement towards the suburbs, exurbs, and even further away, which has put a lot of pressure on some smaller markets. And obviously, those smaller markets aren't quite as deep. They don't have the same housing stock. So it doesn't take that much of a surge or a wave of buyers to really put a lot of pressure on those markets and see prices spiking. And this is something we've seen across many parts of Canada. Smaller markets have, in fact, prices have increased faster than the core urban areas. Now, in the core urban areas, still, it's almost a tale of two markets, really. There is the homes for single family homes, and then there is the condos. Condo market is cool in large part because the rental market has been probably the most affected. Now, when you think of housing, probably the most affected by the pandemic, and that's a combination of the huge drop in immigration and also of students staying at home. And there's also the drop in tourism. That's basically the short-term rental business has completely stopped or almost stopped, especially in the downtown core. So that brought a lot of units from the short-term rental side of business into the longer-term rental market. And so that's created more vacancies, and we've seen some downward pressure on rent, which is, at least in my book, when you look at your longer-term perspective, it may not be necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's obviously challenging for some condo investors, for example, but really for renters and the rental markets, longer-term health, it's not necessarily a bad thing that those rapid rent increases that we've seen over the past several years have kind of cooled down.
Right.
So it's a very complex set of dynamics. But when you think of 2021 and beyond, some of those are likely to stick around for a while. And I'm thinking more specifically about working from home, that is probably going to become a permanent reality for a certain proportion of those who are currently temporarily working from home. StatsCan reported, I think in December, there was more than 2.5 million people working from home that normally would not work from home. So even if you get, you know, 10, 20, 25% of them working from home permanently, that's still a large number of people.
Right. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out in terms of the demand for different types of product.
Yeah. And interestingly, over the last couple months, we've seen sort of a return in terms of condo sales or condo in the resale in the existing home market. Condo sales have picked up after having kind of slumped through the recovery since through the summer. So it's just kind of late stages. And that's probably the reflection of one, basically no inventories on the single detached home. That's all you can buy these days is, condo inventories that had surged. So there's a lot more available for sale out there. And two, quite likely that the news of vaccines have probably been interpreted as a signal for some investors to think ahead and say, well, maybe now is the time to get back into the market. At a time when, in some cases, prices have declined, kind of downtown condos. So they might be opportunistic in trying to scoop some up at attractive price points.
We're definitely seeing that here in the downtown Vancouver market again, especially in the one-bedroom market.
Yeah, in the lower price points downtown, it's since December, it's really picked up. So, which is very different than it felt in, say, September, October, that's for sure, right?
Correct, yeah.
Well, maybe we'll leave it there, Robert, but thank you so much for your time. And how can people find out more about what you're working on at RBC, the reports you're publishing, and how can they learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. We post all the reports that we produce on our website, rbc.com/economics. And you can also be added to our mailing list. And I believe on our website, there's a button where you can subscribe to our publications. So we'll be more than happy to have anyone on our mailing list.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks again, Robert, for your time. And yeah, really interesting conversation.
Well, it's been my pleasure.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Robert Hoeg, senior economist at the Royal Bank of Canada.
Really enjoyed how you said the full name of the bank.
I'm not even sure if that's a thing anymore.
It's just RBC, right? I wonder about TD too. The
Toronto Dominion Bank.
Yeah, I'm going to the Toronto Dominion later today.
Yeah.
Nobody says. It's all acronyms.
My grandma does.
It's all acronyms. I'm at the automated teller machine. Is that what ATM is? Is it automated teller machine? It's a machine. It must not be machine, is it? I don't know. Somebody fact check that.
Yeah,
secret,
I think you're right.
Secret,
I
get
think
on you're right. That. Anyways, this is that was a great conversation with Robert.
Yeah, you know what? What I like about this is, you know, we're not just talking to the Colin Bozes of the world, the CEO from Boza Properties from last week. Got a lot of positive feedback on that one as well.
Tons.
Great conversation. But, you know, Robert Hoeg, economist out of Toronto at the RBC, doesn't have a dog in the fight.
No.
But very, very interesting take on Vancouver's market and the Canadian housing market overall. And it's just great to get all these varied perspectives.
You know, we had a conversation this morning with Sean Gilligan from QuadReal, who's going to be on a future episode as well. I love just talking, like guys like Robert, guys like Sean, that aren't necessarily, you know, in the development community per se or selling real estate, but they're obsessed with real estate. They're obsessed with kind of monitoring the markets and different asset classes. And this is not a job for them. You know, it is a job for
it's
them.
It's a passion.
It is a passion. It 100% is a passion. And you hear that in our conversation today with Robert, but you'll definitely hear that as well with our conversation with Sean.
I think that's going to land.
Gilligan.
Drop next week.
That's going to drop next week. That's a great conversation. I'm super excited to put that episode out. We ran so long on that episode. We might have to take a note out
of it. It might be part one, part two.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, regardless, we're not very good at trimming the fat, so in our own personal lives. So, as our dad said, you want to lose 20 pounds of ugly fat, chop off your head. So, what else do we have for the rest of the day, Matt?
What else do we have? We have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is our website where all things real estate live. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for things like the LiveWire. This is our weekly newsletter. We got stats before anyone else. We got stats that no one else has. We got the deal of the month. All those buttons we talk about with incentives, sellers club. There's no reason you're not on this list.
If you're just even into clicking buttons, it's a great list.
Oh, you like buttons? We got buttons.
We got buttons.
We also have private client services.
Because Matt, if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information at your fingertips for free. It's available on our site, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
I just want to mention it again. Interface Express is going through a massive facelift, and that's going to be.
Services is looking different these days, and I like it.
I know it's and our features are increasing as well. So we've got a lot of super exciting things coming with that resource. So sign up now, and you will benefit from that in the coming weeks. And last but not least, our incentive is still active. If you're looking at selling this year, we've been launching a lot of listings. We are actually, I feel like we keep running out of listings. Stuff is selling too quick.
That's right.
So if you're out there and you're a seller and you're thinking about selling this year, this spring, no better time than the present. Feel free to get in touch. And Matt, how can people do that?
They can do that by, well, first off, Adam, the incentive is PowerWalker 2021.
Right.
Don't forget that. PowerWalker 2021. Call me at any time, 778-847-2854 or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
We also got that secret line, info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Oh, shout out, final thing, we totally forgot, but we are hiring. We've had some great resumes come in. If you are an agent looking to join a very busy team in the Vancouver real estate market and you have your license or you're getting your license, or you know somebody, please refer. We'd love to hire somebody out of the VREP community. And have a great week, guys. Take care.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.